Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast. The new NFL season is here. We're already up to episode 8 of our own 2021 campaign. We saw plenty of action on opening weekend, and as ever, we promise you plenty of thrills along the way on the Neil Reynolds Podcast. So, after our Jacksonville Jaguars special in our previous episode, we thought we'd extend that theme for at least one more week. So, after the Jags, we're delivering a quarterback special and have Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills and Washington's newest quarterback at the tender age of 38, our old pal Ryan Fitzpatrick. We'll save the best to last. So before we get to Fitz, let's bring in Josh to hear a little bit about his story and route to the NFL. And I am only joking, Josh. I do love you too. And remember, if you want to watch this episode of the podcast, just head over to NFLGamePass.com where you can sign up for free and get to watching all of the NFL action all season long. Now, here is Josh Allen. I want to start with how you got to the NFL, junior college. Would it be fair to say not that many Division I offers? What was that process like, and did you use it as motivation? How did you use that whole situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So coming out of high school, I went to a small school. My hometown was probably about 5,000 people, a town called Fireball. And that's not typically where you get, you know, Division I athletes. So I had zero offers coming out of high school. I had a couple coaches say, come and try to walk on at this spot. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to obtain a scholarship and kind of give my parents that satisfaction with all the resources they put into me as a kid. So I went the junior college route, and it's not the most sought after position, but ended up having one offer as the University of Wyoming. And, you know, it's a stepping path towards where I am now. And I wouldn't go back and change anything. I love my time there. I love my teammates that I met. I made some lifelong friends with the players and the coaches there. So it was definitely where I was meant to be.
So they always say you only need one. You only need one to love you.
That's it.
That was the case. That's right.
Oh, absolutely. And they did. And, you know, I loved it there. And you know, I played 2.5 years in my first year, my first start. I ended up breaking my collarbone and missing that game and missing that season. So the highs and lows of it, too, of just getting my offer and being the small town kid and playing my first collegiate game and then going out there 13 plays into the game, snapping my collarbone and sitting out the rest of the year. It was very challenging mentally, but it was, again, a tool or a challenge that I needed, something to kind of put me through the ringer like that and give me some perspective and allow me to kind of step back and, you know, realize what I really want in life.
Do you think when you got to the NFL, it was important not to think you made it? I know I read all the stories, you know, we heard so much about you tweaking your mechanics ahead of last season, read that you do the same every off season. Was it important for you not to kind of rest once you got to the NFL?
Yeah, I definitely say so. And a lot of people maybe in my situation would have kind of felt like that was the end all be all. You know, I got to the NFL, I did my job, but you know, this is the only thing I've ever wanted to do since I was a little kid. It's the only job that I've ever wanted to do. So to be able to come into this facility in this building each and every day, it's a blessing, you know, and I'm truly honored to be the quarterback here. But again, I was on draft day. I was like, this is crazy. I was in junior college 3 years ago, you know, so it was a very surreal feeling. And I still kind of get the chills thinking about it. But that's why I have so much fun with it. I just enjoy being here. There's a lot of other worse things I could be doing with my life right now. So I'm loving the process. And again, I'm very internally motivated and I want to play this game as long as I can and be a successful player for as long as I can.
What would the Josh Allen who's heading into 2021 tell the Josh Allen of 2018, 2019? Are there some key lessons you've learned since you've been in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say don't change a thing, you know, stay grinding, don't get down on yourself. But, you know, selfishly, I tell myself a little bit more about defenses and coverages and trying to understand an offense a little better. But in all due time and with every situation and game I get put in and I play in, I feel like I learned something. So it's just been a gradual process throughout the entire thing. And, you know, it's starting to pay dividends right now. But, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a great staff and a great team behind me and to be able to mesh with the guys that we have here. It's been unbelievable.
Do you feel like you are a different quarterback from a physical point of view with the things you tweaked and from the mental side? Have you grown significantly in your mind from start to now?
I mean, I'd say it's night and day as far as sequencing and my mechanics goes. As far as like even the look, you know, the look of how my throwing motion looks. And I turn on tape for my rookie year and I'm just like, oh, that looks so clunky. It was gross, you know? And now I can truly say, like, you know, I like looking at my mechanics, but I try to tweak it and try to make it. One, I think the better it looks, the better it comes out your hand. And the more effortless it looks. And I think that's a big position or big key to this position, is just trying to stay calm and within yourself and not trying to force anything, and allowing your body to be relaxed and be comfortable. You know, it translates to your head and it slows everything down. It clears some things up in your mind. So, you know, things are getting better on that aspect too. But I still, you know, revert to some bad habits every once in a while that I got to check myself. But I've been pretty good and got a pretty good team around me that, you know, kind of keeps me up to date on what my mechanics are doing.
There's a way a pass is supposed to look. There's a kind of textbook way, but then also things break down. And you mentioned having fun, and you do seem to play backyard football as well. We'll see you with your stiff arm in the defensive lineman and throwing as you're falling down. Do you feel like making off schedule plays like that is a part of being a quarterback, especially in today's NFL? Do you feel like that's a big part of your game?
I mean, I think you have to nowadays, you know, and with how fast and how big these guys on the defensive line are getting, how fast these linebackers go side to side, you know, you got to be able to make plays outside the pocket and extend plays. And, you know, defenses can only cover for so long. And that's something I know about, but again, I've got the tools right now and I might not have them later in my career. So as the years go by, I have to continue to progress and find ways to win within the pocket. But, again, you know, I've got some God-given gifts and, I've been working hard with the training staff here and our strength coaches. I'm trying to maintain some physicality, but again, I know that's not going to last forever. And you see that as quarterbacks get older and, you know, father time's undefeated. So, just that gradual, again, process of getting better within the pocket.
In those backyard moments, are you thinking or are you just playing?
Just playing.
Yep.
Yeah. The less thinking, the better. You know, it's see open, throw open. And I got a good relationship with my receivers here. And I think they kind of like that freedom of just like, oh, I see Josh scrambling. Where can I go? Where can I go try to find the ball? So, and I tell them it could happen at any moment. You better be ready for it. And, you know, they give me everything they got. And I promise to do so in return.
Each season's unique. So 2020 is done. You're looking forward to 2021. But did that give you confidence last year as a team and maybe motivation coming, you know, 45 minutes from the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, we understand that. And we know that we're good enough to do it. And we have that belief in ourselves. But at the same time, just because what we did last year doesn't mean it's going to translate to this year. You know, it's a new season. Everybody starts 0-0. And we got 17 games to try to put ourselves in a position to get into the playoffs. And that's our main goal, is get the playoffs, give yourself a chance at the Super Bowl, because you can't win unless you get there. And that's, you know, we don't focus on the Super Bowl. We're focusing on game one, and that's going to help us get to 1-0 in a fast start. And that's the easiest way to get into the playoffs, is starting fast and giving yourself some leeway later on the season. But yeah, that's what we're doing. We got a great coaching staff that's been reiterating that to us, and guys that really care and really believe about it.
How much does it help your comfort level when you look at the targets you have? So we know Stephon Diggs is an elite player, but then you also have Cole Beasley, who's dirt tough, and now Emmanuel Sanders, who I've kind of worked with over here in the UK quite a bit. Emmanuel's just so smart, right? So that must give you a real comfort level as a quarterback.
Oh, he's awesome. And you can tell just the first couple of days that he's been here with us, the twitch, the fast switch that he has, the explosiveness that he has within his routes when he catches the ball, you know, planting one foot and getting upfield. You talked about Stephon and Cole Beasley. We know what they can do. And you even see some of these young guys like Gabriel Davis, You know, and Dawson Knox that are coming on. We just signed Jake Hollister, who was a teammate of mine in college. So I got some good familiarity with him too. But I mean, I can go down the list and give you something good about each of our guys. And the one thing I truly appreciate about our dudes here, they want to work. You know, they work extremely hard in practice, and they're trying to perfect their game. And that's awesome to see as a quarterback, guys caring so much about their job. And, you know, it just reiterates that trust in each other, and you got to have that when you're on the field.
Just a couple more, just to finish up, Josh. A couple of Brits on the roster now, F.A. Abada, Christian Wade. You haven't got the accent yet, but the Bills could become the UK's team at this rate.
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I've got, like I said, I got a good Australian accent. I need to work on my British accent just a little bit. It gets a little intertwined, but anytime I talk to Wade, you know, I try to use an accent and try to make him feel at home. So it's not very good, but he's awesome. You know, F.A., he's a big sucker now. Holy cow. You know, you see him on the D-line, it's like he sticks out like a sore thumb because he's just so massive. So, but overall, I mean, the two dudes that we got, they are just genuinely nice dudes that care about each other and want to be on the team and make an impact for us. So it's awesome.
You said it's one game at a time, and it is. But what would it mean to deliver success to the Buffalo Bills fans?
I mean, it's something that they've been starving for. And, you know, in the early 90s, making four Super Bowls in a row and not being able to take one home, I know it hurt. But again, it's the thing about the fans here and the Bills Mafia is every year it's our year. You know, no matter what circumstance, this is the year that we're going to do it. And you got to love it about them. And they've been craving for this for so long. So, you know, it's my dream to bring one here to Buffalo. I think everybody on the team has the same dream because, I mean, I can only imagine the emotion, the energy, and how crazy that parade would be. I think about it all the time, and I'm getting the chills right now thinking about it because it would be truly special to have a parade here and hold up that, you know, Lombardi trophy.
Last one, the man who came close, Jim Kelly, in the 1990s. Do you get the chance to pick his brains? Have you had the chance to be around him during your time in Buffalo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. JK is awesome. He's a good friend of mine, and you know, he's kind of taken me under his wing as far as, you know, how to embrace the community, how to be part of Buffalo. And, you know, he's a guy that when he was drafted here, he didn't want to be in Buffalo. And, you know, now he's lived basically the rest of his life after his football career here. He's raised his kids here. And, you know, I get to go to his charity events and do like you know, skeet shooting and lodge trips and dinners and try to help out his charity. So he's been awesome. Him and his family are awesome. They come to most of the games, and you know, he's a diehard Bills fan now, and it's just funny seeing some of these old videos of him not wanting to be in Buffalo, and now he's loved it ever since. So it's really cool. It's exciting for a guy like me to see that.
Yeah, it was funny. He worked over here in London around the game when the Bills played. He said he didn't want to play in Canada because it was too cold, and then when he got to the NFL, he went to Buffalo.
Exactly, exactly.
Didn't quite work out for him. Josh, I've taken up enough of your time, so appreciate that. Very generous of you. So,
well, thank you so much. You have a good one.
We'll be back with our quarterback special after this short break.
Hi there, Neil Reynolds podcast listener. I'm Yarick Zaba, and I'm here to tell you about another Highway 61 network series called Broadway to Brazil. Broadway to Brazil takes a close look at the Corinthian Casuals, a side that play in the seventh tier of English football, yet have one of the most rich and significant stories that the game has to offer. In our second series, we've uncovered a whole host of incredible stories. From the day the Brazilian icon Socrates pulled on the pink and brown casual shirt, to the story of Andrew Watson, the first black international footballer, via a bizarre tale of Soviet visitors at the end of the Cold War. All of this and more help to explain why the Corinthian Casuals are a far from typical non-league side. Find Broadway to Brazil on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ryan Jensen, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone. As you heard at the top of the show, the Neil Reynolds Podcast is available to stream for free on NFL Game Pass throughout the 2021 season. That's because they're supporting us all throughout this campaign. But while we think we're a great reason to sign up to NFL Game Pass, there are plenty of others. So now the 2021 season is here. NFL Game Pass is the ultimate place to watch. Every Sunday, Scott Hansen, who we featured on season one of this podcast, hosts 7 straight hours of live football featuring up to 8 games at once. NFL Red Zone brings you every touchdown from every game every Sunday afternoon during the season. If that wasn't enough, NFL Network has got you covered with all the news and analysis you need, plus live Thursday night football. You can try for free today by heading over to NFLGamePass.com. and signing up. You won't need a credit card and you can get to streaming content immediately. And remember, every episode from the current season of the Neil Reynolds podcast is also available to stream.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Welcome back to the Neil Reynolds podcast and our quarterback special. Now, long-time listeners to the podcast will know we launched this entire thing on the back of Ryan Fitzpatrick way back in April 2020. We went fishing on the waterways of Tampa in the glorious Florida sunshine. I kayaked, Fitz boarded, I caught a fish, and Fitz laughed when I told him that I was scared of them. Ah, those were the days. So as our dearest of friends to the podcast, when we discussed a quarterback special, I just couldn't leave Fitz out of the conversation. Normal service will resume on the podcast next week, but for now, enjoy a little Fitz magic as we catch up on his move to Washington and how life has been treating him since we last spoke. Fitz, first all-important question. What's the fishing like in Washington, D.C.?
So I sent all my poles back to Arizona, so I'm not going to be doing much fishing. I'm not going to find out, but I've heard it's okay. It's just the access that me and you had to the water in Tampa, you can't beat it. So
can you believe what crazy world we live in? That trip when we were fishing was the last time I was outside the UK.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it has been, you know, it's been wild. There's some really good things that have come out of it. Obviously there's been a lot of pain and suffering, but I think everybody in taking a step back and a pause in their life and, you know, focusing on family. There were some real positives, you know, for me and my family that came out of it. And hopefully we're coming out on the other end now. You know, I think with the vaccines and how everybody has done and been vigilant about it, you know, things are looking better.
What was your 2020 experience like? Because when we sat by the water in Tampa, you talked about how much you love the game, the hunger to still play, and you start the year, then you're benched, then you're in and out as kind of a relief pitcher. What was that whole journey like?
You know, it was a really rewarding year again. I mean, 2019 might have been the most rewarding year of my career. And then, you know, lots of up and downs. It was a, you know, just kind of basically summed up my whole career. 2020 did, you know, I had some great moments and then, you know, some disappointments, and then came back and had some more great moments. So I really enjoyed that locker room, that team, rooting for Tua. I hope he does a great job. And, you know, it's hard to play quarterback in this league and so much is expected of these rookies. It's just insane. But I personally, it was a really rough year. You know, lost my mom, then COVID, just my family stayed in Tampa. I was in Miami and I had a test in Miami every day. So that part of it was rough, just basically not being able to see or spend any quality time with my family during the season. But, you know, we got through it and we've had a great off season so far. And I'm really looking forward to this season.
Just one more on Tua, then we'll move and look forward. You would not be surprised, given all your years in the NFL and the focus that's on the quarterback, how dissected he was and how maybe even doubted he's been in this offseason at certain points. That's just, it kind of comes with the job, doesn't it? And maybe unfairly on a young quarterback, because they're expected, as you kind of just alluded to, they're expected to hit the ground immediately.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. And as quarterbacks, we all know that. But you know, a lot of times for these young guys that are getting drafted so high, they're getting drafted that high for a reason, but they're also getting drafted to a team that wasn't very good the year before. And so I think that's where the unreasonable expectations come in. If you don't have an infrastructure around somebody with a strong defense and a good running game and good players around them, it's hard for some one person to completely elevate a franchise, especially as a rookie. And I think that's where the unfair expectations fall on some of these guys. But They're really high on him. They'll give him time to develop. And he does a great job. He works hard. So I'm expecting big things.
One memorable play, and you had some big plays all through the season, but of course, just the day or so after Christmas, I'm sitting there at 4 a.m. watching this game. I've got to go into the Sky Studios later that day, but I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. The no-look pass, and it's not really a no-look pass that you deliberately did as a no-look pass. You're just having your face ripped off, basically, right?
Yeah, it wasn't by choice, but was a cool moment. You know, I kind of came in the fourth quarter there, and it was back and forth for a while, and we just kind of drew up a play in the dirt. And it worked exactly how we thought it was going to work. And, Mac makes a great catch down the sideline. But that was so much fun. And then, you know, I got a fly buzzing around. In true fashion.
Don't get it stuck in your beard, will you?
Yeah. In my true fashion, just as my career has gone up and down and up and down and up and down, and I test positive for COVID, I think 2 days later or 3 days later. And I'm not able to play in the last week of the season.
Players like yourself just play sometimes. Geeks like me look at the numbers, love a statistic. Last year, it said that you had a quarterback rating of 98.6 under pressure, a 62% completion percentage under pressure, both best in the NFL. Do you like it when things get messy?
I think I'm used to it. I'm used to the chaos. Sounds like I got a couple kids waking up in the background.
It's chaos.
So it's just, you roll with it, you know, but
hey, it's part of the Fitz package.
But yeah, I think being able, that one thing that I've just become better at over the years, being able to make quick decisions, being able to eliminate the things that aren't going to be there. And so just speeding everything up in your mind and being able to deliver an accurate ball, I think that's what those statistics are showing. Just something I've gotten a lot better at in my career.
As people pondered what you were going to do in the off season, some were saying, oh, he might retire, but you can see how much you love it. You have no intention of retiring. Were you always keen to kind of give it another go?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a thought. You know, I think after 2016, which was my second year with the Jets, I was miserable. I didn't like football. I wanted to get away from it. I wanted to get away from the game. And, you know, as I pulled back and pulled away, I just think I realized that it was just that season. It was an anomaly. There was nothing good that, you know, from the off season before that led into that season. There was nothing good about that season. So luckily, I made the decision. My wife kind of nudged me to continue to play, and man, I'm glad she did, because the last 4 years have been awesome. And I think as long as I can continue to be a starter, continue to have a chance to compete, to, you know, get a job, then I'm going to still play. And it's definitely a year-by-year proposition. But, you know, the only thing my wife told me, the last 2 years we were apart, I commuted basically from Miami to Tampa. She said, you can play, but we're coming with you. So we got the whole brood moving up to Virginia, and we're excited and ready to go.
Good for you. What's your preferred metaphor? Is the train pulling into the station? Are you on the back nine? You know, all of those ones they put to veteran football players.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm maybe hanging by a thread. Hanging by a thread.
We'll That's go a good that. One.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Tell me about Washington then, about the team. Saw the great social media photo where you got the kind of first day at school thing. Are the new kids being nice to you? That's what I need to know first.
No, you know what? I didn't get bullied. Everybody was very nice to me. But I'm kind of the, if you've seen any of those movies where they've got like the really old guy that comes in as an undercover cop in the high school, I feel like I'm kind of that guy where I'm trying to act young and fit in, but I'm not fooling anybody. You know, they all know that I'm 38 and started playing football in the NFL 5 or 6 years after they were born. So, but it's been good. It's a young team. They've got great chemistry already, and I'm just looking to, you know, be a part of it and add to that a little bit. But it was a lot of fun this offseason. I'm glad we had one, just getting together and getting to know the guys a little bit.
So you say you're trying to act young. But I think you'll probably do that for a little while, and then you'll just be like, this is me. I'm just me, right? I mean, you can only pull that off for so long.
I mean, that's you gotta just come in and be yourself. You know, guys see right through you if you're not being authentic. So that's it. That's part of who I am.
But there's weapons there, aren't there? I mean, you look at players that you can work with this coming season. It's a team coming off so they had a losing record, but they still are a division champion. They were in the playoffs. Tell me about some of the offensive weapons you're going to get to work with.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch them a ton last year, but it's exciting. And, you know, Curtis Samuel, a guy they're bringing in that I've played against quite a bit, and Adam Humphreys, a guy I've played with. And then you kind of throw in the holdovers, the guys that have been there, they're kind of already establishing themselves in the league. Really excited about Terry. They've got some other good young receivers. It's a very diverse group in terms of, you know, some big, some small, quick, fast, physical, and they all work real hard. So, and then the running back group is dynamic. I'm really excited to throw those guys. Logan Thomas is going to be a great target. So there's definitely a lot of weapons to work with. And then, you know, you have it's fortunate and unfortunate going against the defense every day. And those guys kind of, you know, coming after you a little bit. And that part of it makes it competitive and makes it fun.
See, they always say, iron sharpens iron. And that's great, but it must be frustrating on some days when Chase Young's bearing down on you.
Well, you can't hit me though, you know, so
it's true.
Yeah. It's the best of both worlds for me. I get to kind of experience some of the pressure and, you know, make those throws and those decisions, but they don't get to hit me. So it feels a lot better than game day.
I've interviewed him a couple of times. I know him through Sean Gale, who I work with on Sky Sports. Football's about X's and O's, but it's about people as well. Ron Rivera is just a good man, right?
Yeah. He's a great man. And, you know, I think as a player, when you have a coach that has that player's perspective, I think that goes a long way. But he's done it. He's been in it. He's coached for a long time. He has the respect of the team, which is maybe the most important thing to have as a head coach. But he's going to make us work too. He knows the importance of the grind and kind of building up that callus through training camp and, just the team coming together. So I'm excited. We've had a lot of great conversations so far, and he's a guy you want to play for. And I've heard a lot of great things, not just from players, but from other coaches as well on his staff. And just, you know, everybody raves about him. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, playing with him this season.
I hope you don't take this one the wrong way. I'm going to ask this one late in the interview, so it's journalistic trick in case you hit, you know, leave meeting. It must be nice for you they didn't draft a quarterback as well. Because if you said last year you was in and out, it was a kind of snapshot of your career, you potentially have a chance to go from wire to wire with a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of say it doesn't really matter. I mean, it does, and that there's not somebody there that they feel the pressure to have to insert into a lineup, but it's all going to come down to the way that I play anyway. I've got to go out there and be consistent every single week. And so that's always kind of my focus. And last year was interesting, you know, and going, I think we blew out the 49ers and beat the Jets 24-0. And then went in for the meeting during the bye week. And they said, we're going to put you on the bench. And that was a first for me, but I guess there's not that undue pressure to kind of insert somebody into the lineup. So I'm happy about that.
Although the flip side of that is you as an NFL quarterback, you're still judged every week.
Yeah, but that's part of it. You know, I mean, it really is. And the thing that you realize and learn as a quarterback is you've got to be your worst critic. I mean, I've got to be harder on myself than anybody else is. And, you know, if you're not, then there's something wrong. So I try to demand perfection in practice. I try to demand perfection in the games, and it never necessarily works out that way, but you do your best to get close to perfect, and you try to be as consistent as possible.
Last one. Do you just put consistency as the goal, or do you believe this is a playoff team? Do you set yourself that goal? You know, I think we're a playoff team. I want to get to the playoffs. Do you kind of set that goal for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Playoffs, that's definitely a goal. And there's so much that can happen throughout a season, and there's going to be the bumps and the ups and the downs. And so it really is, it's game by game, which, you know, my whole career has been game by game. So we're just going for that game by game consistency. And, you know, for me, it's putting the team in position to win every time I take the field, you know, making the right decisions. So that's, we have plenty of big goals, but I tend to focus on those real small goals, and then they help out and get into the big ones.
Fantastic. When are we going fishing again? Because I'm not too proud to invite myself.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like you've had any more practice. Never. Since we, yeah.
No, I wasn't very good to begin with. I then got worse as we got through our fishing trip, I think. I'd say I regressed after catching the first one. Then I couldn't even throw the line.
Though. Didn't you touch the fish?
I think no, you had to do that.
Yeah. No. What about golf? We could try golf.
Yeah, I can play a little bit of golf. What, crazy golf?
Crazy golf. What's that?
Well, you put it through the windmill, you know, like the mini golf.
Oh, mini golf. Okay, I gotcha. Here, I got an idea.
Do you want to play grown-up golf?
We could play just me versus you, as many mulligans as you want, but you have to take a shot of Fireball whiskey before you take your mulligan. We'll play 18 holes and we'll see how it goes.
All right. You will discover the only thing I'm worse at than fishing is drinking hard liquor. So it's not going to be pretty again.
Gotta leg up on
I'm going to disappoint you again. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.